Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Glad to be back with you. Was out yesterday sick, but plenty to get to. And we move forward in this week towards the next IU game. And, of course, I think the really unknown of the week so far has been the fact that Fred Glass announced, in fact, during our program on Monday, that he will retire from the athletic director position at Indiana at the end of the academic year. And that is not something that I think maybe the diehard fans, the longtime IU supporters, probably more into that, more into the politics behind that and who some of the candidates for that job could be. But obviously the athletic director in charge of everything, the athletic director, this one in Fred Glass, hired Archie Miller and will always be tied to the success or the lack of success that he has moving forward in his tenure as men's basketball coach. But I think, and I didn't comment on this a lot, I think we had Zach Osterman live with us when we got the news. But as I've read and thought about Fred Glass, I think his time at Indiana, I personally like him. He's a guy that's kind enough to come on this show. He comes on a lot of radio shows from time to time. He's a fan. He's in the stands. It's not surprising at a road game or somewhere where you see him behind the bench a row or two cheering on Indiana basketball or football, whatever the case may be. I think his accomplishments are wide and far-reaching into a number of different sports. And just as an outsider that's not on campus all the time, that's there occasionally for games or press conferences or whatever it might be, facility upgrades, to me, will be one of the biggest things that will be remembered for his time in that position as athletic director. But going to be interesting to see what direction Indiana goes. There's an internal candidate, and there's a couple other names that continue to be written about, continue to come to mind with a lot of people with this position just now open, and we'll talk about that some in our headline segment today. But hats off to Fred Glass. Lots of people really like him for all that he's done, for all the sports that have found accomplishments and taken major steps forward. Football, obviously, would be one of those. Some hold, I don't want to say a grudge, but some are not fans because of the lack of success of IU basketball. I don't know that you can point any one person out responsible for the lack of success with Indiana basketball, but clearly he hired Archie Miller, went after him pretty quick, was a fairly quick turnaround in that hire, and this is his guy. And I think it's still a little early to really judge much about Archie Miller. Recruiting has been off the charts, I think. The on-the-court performances at times have been okay. There have been some good moments. There have been some bad moments. Not making the NCAA tournament, obviously, is going to override any good moments or mediocre moments is a bad moment. But I think Archie will be judged this season a lot. I think he will be judged next season a lot as well, as far as the future moving forward. And I think that's when, even though Fred Glass won't be AD at that point, maybe fans will make a final decision on his job as athletic director of the Hoosiers at Indiana University. Welcome into the show today. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines, a look at the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. A lot of different things to get to today. It is signing day in football. We'll talk some about that. We'll talk about some of the candidates that are rising to the top of discussions, at least in media reports. Who knows what is going on internally? And it is so early, I doubt that any of that has even really begun just yet. But we'll talk about some of the common sense candidates, I think, for the job. We'll also talk about the search committee, who is looking for the next athletic director at Indiana, and some of those members on that committee will be very familiar names to you listening. IU basketball, their game time is now set for Arkansas. We'll have that. Take a look at the new Associated Press Top 25, Ohio State, up to number 5 in that poll. And NBC Sports Boston, they have put out a Celtics report card grading some of the Celtics players, starting with their rookies. And we'll talk about what Romeo Langford's report card looks like. I think you could probably take a guess, at least at this point, coming up here in our headline segment. Later in the program, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic joins me. We'll talk IU basketball. We'll talk Big Ten and college basketball as well. And I might even get his thoughts on the departure coming up at the end of this school year of IU athletic director Fred Glass. Then later in the show, Craig Pearson. He's the sports editor of the News and Tribune. He's always with us on Wednesdays, presented by the Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt, to talk local sports. And we're right in a great spot now with high school basketball. We had a big weekend this past weekend. More good games coming up now this coming weekend, and of course over the holiday time as well. Always a great opportunity for holiday tournaments and other events. A lot of teams will be participating in, so we'll talk with him about some of that and do all of that in our show today. That's the show lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, while you're out with your Christmas list, don't forget your dedicated employees and business associates you would like to show appreciation for. A Honey Baked Ham gift card or ham or turkey breast make a very nice gifting idea. You can call the store for more information at 812-941-9426 or stop by at 3602 Northgate Court in New Albany. Don't forget, you can interact with the show. Love for you to submit a comment or a question, and it might get used with one of our guests today, or it might get read on the air today. You can follow me on Twitter at Hoosier Hills. Again, Hoosier Hills, all one word. That's my username there. For updates on the show, for podcasts, it's a great way to shoot me a comment or a question as well. You can also follow our show page on Facebook by searching The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison and leave a message there as well. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Lots to get to today here on this Wednesday program, and we start with signing day for college football. Indiana, according to Matt Weaver of Pigs.com, Indiana expected today in this 24-hour period to open signing period to sign around 17 to 21 signees today. And, of course, it'll be time to look back at the full class later this week, maybe next week, and see exactly what successes Tom Allen and the staff have been able to find on the football recruiting front while they've had success on the field this year. But again, 17 to 21 expected to make it official and ink today with the Hoosiers as National Signing Day begins. So that is interesting stuff. Always a fun day, always fun to follow some of the news and some of the storylines. And football is completely different than basketball as well. You get flips. People have been committed, maybe in some cases for a long time, to a certain program, and then all of a sudden on the day of signing, they flip their decision. They decide to go to Indiana or maybe not to go to Indiana or any college football program. So that's going to be interesting to follow today. There's always surprises, much more of surprises when it comes to college football than basketball. Really, the great basketball recruiting decisions are the big announcements, where you go into the announcement and truly no one knows where the player is going to announce that he's going to at least verbally commit to attend college. But football, all the way down to the wire, these guys flip their decisions, and even on signing day, that is not unusual. So we will see that coming up, I'm sure, at some point today. Let's hope it's not a surprise to Indiana on the negative side as far as losing some, but maybe a surprise to Indiana as far as getting someone that they don't currently expect to get. Also, athletic director job, talk some about that to open up the show. Everybody says, who's going to get the job next? Well, I don't know that anyone knows for sure, and I'm not sure how much that process has even begun yet, but a few names that do come to mind, at least at this very, very early point, an internal candidate that probably would be one of the more familiar names, I would assume, at least he is to me. His name is Scott Dolson. He's Deputy Director of Athletics under Fred Glass. He applied for the AD job last time and was under serious consideration when that post opened before Fred Glass or during the time that Fred Glass was hired. Another candidate, this one came out almost initially right as I saw the news that Fred Glass was going to retire, Dr. Patrick Kraft. He's the Director of Athletics at Temple University. He has connections to Indiana, was a student at Indiana. And then, of course, another name that I believe would be familiar, especially to basketball fans, Chris Reynolds. He's currently the vice president for intercollegiate athletics at Bradley University. And, of course, he is a former IU basketball player as well. Yesterday, a committee was announced, a search committee that will begin the process to look for Indiana's next athletic director. Some of the more notable names as far as coaches and sports go: Ray Luz, the swimming coach at Indiana; Terry Morin, the women's basketball coach; and Todd Yeagley, obviously the ultra successful soccer coach at Indiana. They will all sit on a committee. Other names: Cindy Simon Scott, member of the IU Foundation Board of Directors. And, of course, Simon Scott, Assembly Hall, from that family as well. And then a local name, Ned Pfau of Jeffersonville. He's a member of the IU Foundation Board of Directors. He's director and former president of the IU Varsity Club. He's president and CEO here locally of George Pfau and Sons Company. And obviously someone that has been very involved and a huge supporter of so many big projects involving IU and IU athletics. No surprise that he is on the search committee for the next athletic director. But a good group of people, and now they've been tasked with a task to go out and find candidates to be interviewed and to be considered seriously for the athletic director job. Moving on in our headlines, presented by Zaxby's, the time has been set for Indiana's December 29th game against Arkansas, a 6 p.m. tip-off in that game to close out the 2019 portion of the schedule at Assembly Hall coming up on December 29th. And again, a 6 o'clock tip-off in that game against Arkansas. Also, Associated Press, their new top 10 out yesterday. The 6th number one team of the year is Kansas at 9-1. Top-ranked Big Ten team is Ohio State. They really gained some traction with some of their big victories recently. They are 9-1 on the season. Maryland is also hanging up there as well. They are 10-1, and they are at number 7 in the most recent Associated Press top 25. Michigan State, they're in there. Michigan 8-3 at number 14. Michigan State 7-3 at number 15. Butler at number 17 as we scroll down. Florida State, who Indiana beat, 8-2 now. They are at number 19. In the poll, and Penn State sliding in at number 23 with a 9-2 start. And I was reading the poll, the little capsule with each team. They haven't won an NCAA game since 2001, but this year's team obviously looks like a different Penn State team that could possibly not only get to the tournament but win a game or two potentially in that tournament as well. So the NBC Sports Boston Group has given report cards for the Celtics rookies, Romeo Langford, the 14th pick. I thought, okay, this is going to be interesting. How can you grade Romeo? He's not really played for Boston. He really hasn't played much for anyone. Summer League, preseason, Maine Red Claws. He's just now making his return now that he's back to health. And as I scroll down to read his grade on his report card, incomplete. And that's about the best grade I think you could give him right now, because we just simply haven't seen Romeo Langford in enough minutes in a situation to know exactly where he's at right now in his rookie season of his NBA year. But let's hope, and again, he played Sunday at Maine. He did not record any points. He did have some rebounds and a block that I think made the highlight reel. But let's hope that he can really get some meaningful time there and find himself as a very meaningful player, as I think we all expect he can, based on some of the earlier performances he had in between some minor injuries. I mean, he had 27 points in a game, was doing everything, was by far the best player, not only for his main team that's very good in the G League this year, but on the court in that specific game. And I think that's what we all expect from Romeo. Maybe not if he logged in for Boston, but at the G League, if you're the 14th pick and if you're the player that we know him to be, you need to be the best or one of the better players on your team and on the floor in each and every game. And as he gets healthy, I expect that his point total will grow. And let's see if he can't use that to have some really big performances and maybe get some time with Boston that coincides with his time in Maine, or maybe that will help it happen after his time at Maine. But I think that all accounts that I've seen, he's expected to be with Maine playing games for a couple weeks, if not longer, to see if he can finally get back on the healthy track and finally get some confidence and get some playing time and score some points and do all of those things in Boston. If you missed our Monday show, we name our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week presented by Serdano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. Our winner this week, Cooper Jacoby of Silver Creek. He had 36 points on Saturday night as Silver Creek closed out a big weekend. Friday, they defeated conference rival North Harrison in a fairly close game down the stretch. Saturday, they went to Southport for the Forum Tip-Off Classic, and they defeated Fort Wayne Blackhawk Christian, who has Caleb First, another big-time recruit that Indiana, many other schools looking at. Trey Kaufman, obviously, with a big performance in that game. He had 17 points and played very well in front of college coaches and others. But it was Cooper Jacoby with 36 points in the game that led the way for Silver Creek in a big win. They weren't up early either in that game. They had to make a comeback in the second half of that game to win, and that was a big one for Cooper Jacoby and for Silver Creek as well. That's going to wrap up our first segment and our Zaxby's headlines. Don't forget, Zaxby's is home of the Southern TLC filet sandwich, a buttermilk marinated chicken breast served with lettuce, tomato, and mayo. And you can find that at Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk IU basketball, Big Ten basketball, and the crazy world this 2019-2020 season of college hoops with Dustin Dopierak. And we'll also get his thoughts on the somewhat surprise, I think, announcement that Fred Glass announced Monday. He's going to retire as IU athletic director. His thoughts on that, the Hoosiers, and a lot more coming up next on this Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, presented by CC Power Sports.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Wednesday program. Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic joins us, as always. Dustin covers Indiana, Purdue, Butler for The Athletic, and he joins us to talk IU, the Big Ten, and more Wednesdays here on this program. I'd like to start with the Fred Glass news earlier this week. We did not have a show yesterday. I was out sick, so didn't get to recap everything about that departure forthcoming at the end of the academic year. But did it catch you off? Did it catch you by surprise? Or has word maybe been circulating that a Fred Glass retirement departure could be coming up soon?
Yeah, if it was circulating and didn't come my way, I don't know. I mean, it's possible some other guys had more of a heads up on that, but I didn't. I mean, I think he said and Fred tries to, keep a lot of stuff like that under wraps. I mean, he's not a big idea of fueling speculation. He likes to be the guy who is sort of out front with that and doesn't like it to be sort of being whispered about, outside of him, basically, as I understand, as he sort of explained it. He sort of made the decision with his wife and his family. And, it kind of had his hand forced a little bit by the Tom Allen contract extension, because he wanted Tom to know that, basically he was signing a contract, but he was going to have another boss, for most of the duration of it. So basically he told Tom around the same time he told the president, and, told maybe a few days before the extension was signed. And then after that, basically called the president and kept it quiet from that point forward. So, I mean, I don't know if it reached anybody else's ears. It didn't reach mine. I mean, when you kind of reconsider it, it's sort of a surprise. I know I talked to some other people in the department, and they didn't necessarily know it was coming either. But when you look at how long he's been there, 11 years, I mean, that's a pretty full athletic director tenure. As he pointed out, it can be an all-encompassing job. I think he mentioned his 4 or 5 grandchildren, so he's ready to move on to that.
Dustin Dolpirak of The Athletic, my guest. Is it too early to ask this? How do you think Fred Glass will be remembered? How do you think he'll be held in regard as far as looking back at his 11 years when he's said and done here down the road a few months from now?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote my story yesterday. I think they came out yesterday. It is probably unfortunate that he will still be judged. A lot of his legacy will sort of be finally written by whatever Archie Miller does, because that's his hire in the most prominent, visible position in Indiana athletics. So basically, he will be judged by whether or not he got that one right. That's really going to matter. But I think the people that follow it more closely than that will see that he made major structural changes and very sort of progressive, foresighted ones. I mean, I think it was always interesting to me that he would be very open in pointing out that he didn't consider himself an expert in any particular sport, and always felt like he tried to rely on experts for that, tried to still kind of make step back and make his sort of sport-oriented decisions and take his time doing that. But when it came to structuring an athletic department and setting up priorities, I mean, I think he was pretty ahead of the curve there, especially with the student athlete bill of rights. I think that is something that is going to be a major legacy for him. That not just Indiana will look at. I mean, people outside of that, I think will look and see what he did. In a time with a lot of change in intercollegiate athletics, and say that will be a model for people who are trying to operate a certain way. I think, setting up the 5 priorities of the university, all of the, capital projects they either had approved or sort of saw through to their end. Several of those projects, including the North End Zone and Cook Hall, were already under construction when he got there. Making sure things got finished. I mean, Barkoff and Field had been previously approved, under the Greenspan administration when it was initially supposed to be part, I think, of the football and basketball project. He had to make sure that baseball got the necessary monies for that, and obviously that's a big reason why Indiana went from being sort of a middle of the pack at best Big Ten program to one that's perennial NCAA contender. So I mean, there was a lot of things he did in way of investments, in the way of culture, that is going to leave a mark on Indiana athletics for a long time.
Talking to Dustin Dolpirak of The Athletic, Fred Glass to retire at the end of the academic year. Let's get into some IU basketball as we move on in our conversation. The Hoosiers set at 10-1, and their next game coming up on Saturday against Notre Dame, part of the Crossroads Classic at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Indiana, these next few games, Notre Dame at Bankers Life, Arkansas at home, I think so very important for this team as they gear up for Big Ten play after the first of the year.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think obviously they were able to learn a lot of themselves about themselves in about a week and a half after not being able to learn very much in the month of November when they were playing, so many mid and low major teams. Every game, I think, has taught them a lot. And I think after Saturday against Nebraska, I'm getting my taste mixed up. But they certainly, I think, that I think definitely woke them up. But obviously, they get still a little bit better because Nebraska, had Purdue in on Sunday and just smashed them. I think that they certainly don't feel as bad about that as they did on Friday night. But they still continue to see the issues they have in ways of trying to work forward with them. I mean, they're still having a hard time shooting the basketball and sometimes making sure they, take good shots and hit them, and also just defending a little bit better. They obviously had some issues just getting out the shooters and especially, ball pressure, keeping people in front of them. So I mean, I think they've learned a lot there, and they could use, a couple wins heading in. I mean, I think, 10 to win's a pretty decent start. You have, wins over Florida State and Connecticut that are going to matter in March. But they could use a few more. Notre Dame's not playing that great. I'm not even totally sure where Arkansas stands. But, I mean, that's 2 more major conference wins you have a chance to pick up. momentum, I think, is going to matter, you know, heading into New Year's and just sort of feeling good about themselves. I mean, the better of a record they can put up in this month of December, the better off they are. When it comes to, you know, NCAA tournament selection, the better off they are just in terms of their confidence when it comes to playing Big Ten teams. So, yeah, no, these two games are very critical, I think. You know, again, if they could get through December with only one loss, that would speak really well for them going forward.
Dustin, were you surprised on Friday night that it took overtime for this Indiana team to beat Nebraska at Assembly Hall, or with the ups and downs and the good moments and then tough moments coming out of that Connecticut game in New York City on, I guess, middle of the week? Did you not find it much to be a surprise?
Well, I found it less of a surprise, again, when they went out and beat Purdue. You know, it definitely seemed to me, okay, you look at what Nebraska had done to that point and who they lost to, and it certainly didn't seem like a team that should be able to give Indiana any trouble. And you know, they're obviously playing a different style of basketball, but, I mean, I think, God, what was the final rebound total? Was it 51-26 at the end of regulation? I mean, generally, you don't lose many games if you have that vast of a rebounding margin on that big of a size advantage. But, you know, obviously Nebraska has some guys who can really shoot it and some guards who can break you down, and they did that over and over again against Indiana. And I think, you know, my thought was, okay, that's an indictment of Indiana's, you know, perimeter defense. But then they come out and they do the same thing against Purdue, which got some pretty good perimeter defenders. So that tells you, all right, maybe you shouldn't be surprised. Maybe, one, the Big Ten just is wide open. And Nebraska does have, you know, the transfers that they brought in are more ready to play than certainly I realized. But between Cheatham and Thor Bjarnason, however you say that guy's name, and, you know, Burke and Mack, I mean, those are tough covers. You know, again, like to say, when it, you know, obviously it just really shows you when a team like Purdue can't keep them in front either. You know, they've got Eric Hunter and Odell Eastern and, you know, a lot of guys that can handle those type of players on the perimeter, and they still can't keep them away from the rim or from hitting threes. You know, that tells you, all right, maybe this wasn't as bad of an indictment as Indiana as I thought. But no, I mean, on Friday, I was very, very surprised. But by Sunday, you're like, okay, maybe this isn't as crazy as it looked at first glance.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic is my guest. He joins us Wednesdays on the program. Looking at the new Associated Press poll, Ohio State up to number 5 in the poll. Maryland is not far behind at the number 7 spot. The Big Ten has been a lot like college basketball as a whole so far this season. A crazy year, very interesting, and you never know on each night exactly what to expect.
Yeah, no, I mean, it continues to shock me, and I just keep saying over and over again that nobody's very good. But, you know, obviously it's very even. I mean, I think obviously it's proven that some teams toward the bottom can hang. And, you know, nobody is flawless at the top. You know, I thought Michigan State might run away and hide with this thing. They're very, you know, obviously shown they're very mortal. And Maryland and Ohio State both having moments against, you know, teams that are expected to be bottom half teams. In Minnesota and Penn State, you know, teams that have some talent, that they're not, you know, bottom of the barrel, but still, you know, kind of you figured they were going to be 7th, 8th, or worse, losing on the road against those two teams. And I think Penn State, you know, I think Maryland was only maybe favored by a couple of points if they were favored at all against Penn State on the road, which, and that is, I went there, it's not a great road environment at all. So it's not like Maryland was going to be intimidated by the mighty Bryce Jordan Center. But, you know, they lost that game, and Ohio State loses, you know, handily after just basically romping everybody up until that point to get beat by a Minnesota team that could barely, you know, score against Butler. So, I mean, it just shows you this thing is just going to continue to be wide open because, I mean, nobody's good enough to be able to blow everybody out, and everybody's good enough to have something that can beat you in the Big Ten. Maybe Northwestern might be the only team that doesn't have the firepower that you need to win some of these games, but you know, everybody else obviously can. Everybody else on a given night, especially at home, can beat you. I mean, just the fact that no road team lost until, I mean, I don't know if Michigan State and Northwestern, if they played last night or the night before. I presume Michigan State won that game, because I haven't heard it spoken of, but everybody else won on the road, and that is completely insane. Or won at home, and that is just wild.
Yeah, no question. Dustin Dopier, my guest of The Athletic. Devontae Green, that's the latest player of concern when it comes to injuries and staying healthy now for this Indiana team. He left and did not come back in the game Friday against Nebraska. Archie Miller is skirted around, as you would expect, in the post-game press conference. He probably didn't know much then, but he was asked about it directly in the coaches' show earlier this week, and it sounds like it's something to keep an eye on, but maybe not too serious. I guess I'm headed to two different points with this topic or this question for you. A, your thoughts on Devontae Green and how serious this is or could be, if you have any knowledge of anything. And B, have you ever covered a team, Dustin, that deals with so many injuries on such a regular basis, some of them that end up being so long-term as what this Indiana program has in recent seasons?
I've seen some pretty depleted teams in my time, whether they were teams I covered directly or from a distance. I mean, you do see a lot of teams that get ripped up. I mean, even, Nebraska last year was barely functional by the time it was over. They were playing like two walk-ons. And those guys had it. I can say that's at least one team I can recall in recent memory that had it a lot worse. I've covered teams in the past where you have, a season ender in there on top of, an array of, this one keeps them out for 2 weeks, this one keeps them out for a month, that sort of stuff. I think Indiana, it's just continuing. It seems like it just piles up. But it does also, I think it also feels worse, feels like a bigger, epidemic when you're covering the team closely or watching the team closely or following it as a fan, because it seems like you're always hearing it. But, guys get hurt, so they're, I've definitely seen worse, definitely seen situations, nobody on this team is out for the year yet. So it's just the fact that one thing after another, small keeps piling up is one thing, but it definitely seemed worse in that way. But I don't know anything new. Obviously what Archie said was that he had an Achilles injury, and I think he was asked about it. I think at the coach's show he said he was sore. So he was sort of, coy about that. And so you don't know what to make of that, obviously. Achilles are tricky, but it doesn't necessarily mean, okay, you've got some soreness there. That means you're, one step away from rupturing the thing and ending your season. Some of those, you don't really have a warning for it. It sort of happens, and just because it sort of doesn't necessarily mean that's coming. I think that's obviously something they'll look very closely, try to, give him a lot of treatment. And obviously, if they're seeing sort of signs that he's getting stretched out to the point that it could be a problem, they'll address that and keep him out, because they certainly don't want to lose him for the year, because that would be critical. It would be totally killer to lose the scoring punch that he's got. Obviously, they've proven, I think, they can hang without him. They can survive for a couple of games, but long term, he's a guy, obviously, that because he can go off in a way none of those other guards can. As you saw against Florida State, he's a guy that when he's feeling it, can get you 25-30, and no one else has that capability.
Yeah, no question. Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, my guest, talking some IU basketball. And Dustin, I'll close with this. College basketball, the season has been crazy so far. I think we're on our sixth number one team in the Associated Press poll so far this year. Do you have a good handle yet, or a better handle, as we approach late December on the Big Ten Conference and the landscape of the conference, as far as maybe the top grouping of teams and the middle grouping of teams, and your thoughts on where Indiana falls in that? Or has it been so crazy and so unpredictable that you need to see a little bit more to make any real guesses on things?
Yeah, that goes for college basketball as a whole. But I think, again, you obviously see who's got the talent, and despite Ohio State's loss the other night, they've obviously played really well up until that point. So you've got to put them up there. You've got to put Maryland up there. And you have to put Michigan State up there, I think, obviously, just because of the pieces that they still have. You can say they've been disappointed, but they've also won some games that are important and played overall, pretty well. I think obviously the expectations were really high with them coming in preseason number one. And maybe they're not quite that, but, they obviously have the firepower and the players to be able to compete, be right there with those three teams for the Big Ten title. I think after that it is really wide open. Night to night, I don't know how good Purdue is. I've seen them look really good and seen them look really bad. And obviously they were, go out there and smack Virginia and get, beat around by Nebraska. So I'm trying to figure out where you peg them. God, I'm trying to think who else sort of was in that. I mean, Michigan obviously has had a significant amount of ups and downs, looked terrific through Battle of Atlantis, and they've looked pretty mortal. I mean, I think you got to put them in that spot top, five or so. But I mean, they lose to Illinois on the road, and then they get beat by Oregon at home. So they're quite mortal. I think they are probably better than I thought. And I mean, more so, I think some of those guys that you weren't certain about, I think, have played pretty well and stepped into the rules pretty well. So they're all right. Illinois has had some moments. Obviously, beat Michigan at home. You know, they've had some moments where they haven't looked great, but they've obviously got a couple players. You know, Kobe Cockburn has been a beast. Io is a heck of a player, so he's got to be in there. I think Indiana is in the top half, but I don't know where to peg them otherwise. And I do think that they've got some tough times to come because of how the game always changes when you get into conference play, and people have you scouted out. If you like to run, they know not to let you run. So they're going to force Indiana to try to beat them in the half court. Big Ten teams are going to do that. And Indiana hasn't necessarily proven that they can do that, really well yet. I mean, they're still not a great shooting team. They've got to get better at half court execution. Plus, obviously, they got to defend a lot better. So the game is going to change. They're going to lose a lot of their, the advantage that they've had at non-conference, being able to outrun teams and outsize teams. It's not going to be as easy to do that once they get into conference play. So I do think that, they've got some tough times coming. I think they obviously got some athletes to be able to hang in there, and I think they're going to win some games. I think the cohesion serves them really well. I don't know that they have everything down, but they at least like each other, and I think that matters. So I expect them to be in the top half at the end of the day, but I do think that there are some tough losses coming for Indiana, just because they're going to have to change the way they play basketball to win in the Big Ten.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic with us Wednesdays as we talk IU basketball and more. Dustin, as always, thanks for the chat. We'll do it again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic with us, covered a lot of ground on IU, the Big Ten, and more. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, he joins the program. We'll talk local sports, lots of high school basketball, and more, all presented by the Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 shirt. We'll do that next. You're listening to a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back here on a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Matt Dennison with you. No Craig Pearson here in this segment, unable to connect with him, but this segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 t-shirt. They offer custom apparel to meet any of your apparel needs, including t-shirts, uniforms, corporate wear, and promotional items, screen printing, embroidery, fully sublimated uniforms as well. Let Major League Shirt Company outfit your team or organization today. You can visit mlshirtco.com to find out more. That's mlshirtco.com. Taking a look at some things in the area, as Craig and I normally do, high school basketball is well underway. Obviously, so far, we've been treated to some great games and some terrific individual performances. I was reading a piece in the News and Tribune. I think Josh Cook actually was the author of the story, as he kind of looked at some of the headlines coming out of the weekend and maybe a glance to this week and some of the top games as well. But he was talking about the Silver Creek and Jeffersonville game, which is going to take place this weekend, and writing what a great game it should be on paper, and how much Division I talent is going to be on the court together Friday night in that game at Johnson Arena at Jeffersonville. And he started his little blurb about the game that possibly not since the great Jeff New Albany games of the early to mid-1990s has there been as much Division I talent on the same court as there will be in this game. And that's a very interesting point. Over the years, we've been treated to so many great players to come through the area. But you go back to the early 90s, you go back to the mid-90s, some of those Jeff New Albany games, there were a number of big-time college players, D1 college players on the court together, especially on the Jeffersonville side there for a few years. In this weekend's edition between Jeff and Silver Creek, Jeffersonville obviously has two seniors that have committed and signed with Division I schools, and Trey Coleman, who's going to play for Steve Alford at Nevada, point guard Jacob Jones, who's going to play at Green Bay in Wisconsin, and then Will Lovings-Watts, just a sophomore, but he's already got at least one mid-major scholarship offer, and I think there's no question about it. He has the potential and the growth in his game to get to a high level of Division I basketball as well. So that is just the Jeffersonville side, and that's just the Division I level players. Darren Starks is going to go to Hanover. That's a great fit for him. There are other kids on that Red Devil roster that I'm sure will be recruited to play some level of college basketball as well. Then you look at Silver Creek, and they've got juniors in Cooper Jacoby, who is likely going to play at a very high level of Division I basketball. He's being recruited by Indiana, Purdue, all the in-state D1s, others, Louisville, even Kentucky interested as well, showing interest in him also. Then you've got Cooper Jacoby, who has a number of mid-major scholarship offers at this point, and I fully believe with his skill set and with his performances so far this year, he's going to continue to attract more Division I schools, and who knows, Cooper Jacoby might have the chance to play at a higher level than some of his scholarship offers, at least at this very moment. And then you've got Brandon Northern, younger guard, handling the ball well for Silver Creek. That was one of the big question marks for this team coming into the season. He's got a Division I offer from a mid-major school as well. So lots of potential in that game, lots of Division I potential in that game on Friday night, and it should be a fantastic game. Silver Creek has shown so far this year with their schedule, which has been tough, and it's going to do nothing but get even tougher for the Dragons, that they can compete and they can win a game against Jeffersonville on Friday. In fact, I think if you look at the results so far, you look at the performances so far, one might have to mark Silver Creek and Coach Brandon Hoffman's team as the favorite in this game. And, of course, looking across the area, I did this some on Monday, but Silver Creek, I think you got to give the nod to right now as the best team in the area that has been most impressive out of the gate. They are 5-0. They've beaten some quality opponents, both locally and on a statewide level as well. And, of course, Cooper Jacoby and Trey Kaufman have done exactly what we thought they would do, and that is have big, big games to open this season for Silver Creek. I think we can expect to see lots of scoring and lots of leadership out of both of those guys throughout the year. Floyd Central, 5-0, they're an interesting team. We know about Jake Heidbreeder, Grant Goleman, a leader for the team. Some other players have stepped up to help the Highlanders to a 5-0 start. Got a win over New Albany Friday night. They're 5-0 on the season as well. Their first, I don't want to say test, but their next big test of the season comes against Bloomington South. I'm not sure that I expect Floyd Central to win that game by any stretch of the imagination. If they did, it would be big stuff for Floyd Central, but I'm more interested to see how they play a very good, I almost will call them an elite-level Bloomington South team. That happens on Saturday night this week. And, of course, Floyd Central has Providence, who, unbelievable, what a start they've had. They're winning close games, just simply finding a way to get it done. They are undefeated as well. But I think you got to look at Silver Creek and Floyd Central right now as the two favorites in the area. Jeffersonville, obviously, right behind them. They've got all sorts of talent. They, too, have played a very tough schedule. Their losses are to Lawrence North, who is highly ranked 4A school, and, of course, Scott County, Kentucky, down in the Indiana-Kentucky Challenge Cup this past weekend. So it's not like they've lost to just local teams or mediocre teams. They've lost to some really good teams. But I think right now, Silver Creek, Floyd Central, Jeff, right there as far as leading the charge for high school basketball in our area after the first few weeks of the season. This segment each week is brought to you by the Major League Shirt Company. Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 t-shirt. If you're looking to raise money for your team or event, let Major League Shirt Company's online fan stores work for you. You can outfit your fans and raise money with very little effort. Major League even does all the sorting. All you've got to do is cash the check. Find out more about Major League Shirt Company at mlshirtco.com. That's mlshirtco.com. Hoosierreport.com. That's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday edition of the program. Don't forget you can catch the Hoosier Report each weekday at 11 o'clock, the replay at 3 o'clock, podcasting on Apple Podcasts and SoundCloud, and I'll be back with you Thursday right here on the Big X Sports Radio.